Happy Monday, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Today, we have a nice show about virtual reality today here at K-12 Education Talk Radio. Okay, we've got Dave Whalen, who's the CEO of Immersive VR Education. Immersive VR Education, virtual reality. Okay, and we'll talk about how to learn more about them, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about the role of virtual reality and augmented reality in education. And not only here in the U.S., where I am, okay, in magnificent Maine today, it's zero outside. Okay, that's Fahrenheit, Dave. You're in England. All right, it's zero outside today. And the virtual reality is good all over the world. Dave's company is British. At least they're headquartered in Britain, and we'll find out more about that. I'm really sorry about Brexit, Dave, but we'll talk about that as the show goes on. We got a great week, and I hope you check it out over at our website, which is education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. That's where our full schedule is for the week. And if you scroll down, we archive every show over there. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio and send out links after the show. Okay, Facebook, EduTalk Radio, LinkedIn. Okay, that's at EduTalk, Larry. And we hope you take a minute and follow us over there, friend us, et cetera, and we'll send you all the information we can about how to follow the shows. All right, and of course, we have our magazine, which is all about accessibility, compliance, and equity in education. That's ace-ed.org. That's the website, ace-ed.org, A-C-E. But we call the magazine A-C-N-E. Because it's accessibility, compliance, equity, and education. We've got a new issue coming out in a couple of weeks. It's all digital. It's up there on site, ace-ed.org. Okay, enough of me blabbing. It's Monday morning, but it's over. Actually, we're just starting here in the East Coast, okay? And the West Coast hasn't even started yet. They're Monday. Dave is 5 hours ahead of us. Lucky him, it's almost Tuesday. Good morning, Dave. It's Larry.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
That's good to have you. Where are you calling from? In London? Or?
No, I'm actually based in Ireland. A lot of our development is in Ireland, but we also have a base in the UK.
Pardon me. And by the way, you can make more money selling passports to British citizens than you can than doing virtual reality. Okay, think about it.
We're doing roaring business in the passport department at the moment.
It's unbelievable. So I was making a little fun about Brexit, but you guys aren't involved in that, bless your hearts, right?
Yeah, well, I hope it's not too tough for the UK because they are our biggest customer at the moment.
I hope it's not too tough for them either because I am an Anglophile. I do love visiting over there, but the whole United Kingdom and Ireland and all that sort of stuff. And I just feel terrible that they're going through this whole mess. So I do hope it all works out, but we'll see if it actually does. It's amazing. But enough about politics and what you guys are all involved in. Dave, you were a magazine publisher? From Virtual Reality Reviewer, is that correct?
Yeah, so originally, quite a few years ago, I think it's 5 years ago now, we had a website running called virtualrealityreviewer.com, and we reviewed a lot of content in the early days. So I was one of the original backers of the Oculus Rift on the original Kickstarter campaign. And as soon as I got the headset, I knew, look, I straight away wanted to go into the virtual reality business. But I'm not a developer myself, a game developer, so I went back to what I do best, which was creating websites, because I used to be a web developer. And that got me in touch with a lot of the leading key players over in the United States and the UK. And from reviewing a lot of content in the early days, I was looking at a lot of this content, and I have 3 kids myself, and I said, you know what, actually, this technology could be absolutely fantastic in the use of education, and I've done a bit of research, and it's actually a quite old technology. It's been used in education for the last 40 years, but it's been really high-end institutes like NASA have been using it to educate their astronauts, you know, and how to do simulated training and how to do missions without actually going to space. And the U.S. military have been using it for many, many years as well to train soldiers and also high-end medical training institutes. But with the Oculus Rift that came out, really it's a consumer priced product, and I was looking at it going, okay, we really need to bring this technology to the consumer market, to the general education market, and that's why we set up the business 3.5 years ago.
And well, good answer, my friend. And let me ask you, are you guys strictly in education, or are you doing VR for businesses, etc. as well?
So what we've built is,
how do you want it to shake out?
It's kind of we're doing a bit of both. So we've built a platform called Engage, and Engage really it's designed as a distance learning platform, but it can be used for corporate training, or it could be used for standard education. And the whole idea behind the platform is it's a virtual university or a virtual classroom. So you go in, you have a virtual classroom setting, you take a photograph of yourself, and that will build an avatar that looks exactly like you. And as you move in the real world, your avatar moves in the virtual world in a very natural way. And you can do everything that you can do in a standard classroom. You can do like a PowerPoint presentation on the virtual screens. You can draw on the whiteboard. But you can do some other very specialized stuff. So you can drop in a dinosaur into the middle of the classroom, or else you can bring the whole class to the surface of Mars, or you can do some simulated training as well. So as an example, we have some Oxford University content on the platform, but we also have a ballistics trajectory lesson. So what happens is you look at a standard presentation for about 2 minutes, and you have a virtual avatar that stands in front of you and explains how to hit a target out at sea using a ballistics calculation. And then you're put right next to a cannon, a virtual cannon, and you have to actually hit a target out at sea using what you've just been taught. So it's quite simple. It's kind of, when you're in class or you're in university, it's very easy to learn that X plus Y equals Z, and you'll memorize that and you'll pass a test on Friday. But if somebody asks you the same question, what is X plus Y, 2 months later, you won't remember. But if you have a practical application for what you've just been taught, that will stick with you a lot more. And that's exactly what we're trying to bring with VR.
So you can create, if I mean, not an app, but an application that allows you to understand it. You can actually put that into a real world, which is actually not real. It's virtual, but seems real. Correct?
Precisely. And the whole idea behind the platform is it's a tool for educators. So what we've built, using the assets that we have and the tools that we have, the educators themselves and the teachers themselves, they can create their own content using the platform. So we're not content creators. We're a tech company at heart. And it's the educators themselves can create whatever they want with this platform. Whereas up to the release of the platform, if you wanted to have some VR education, you would have to go to a specialized production company, and you could ask them, okay, I need you to build this, and they would charge you many thousands of dollars.
Yes, they would.
You can download the Engage platform for free, and you can create your content on the platform for free, and then you can publish it for others to enjoy using the platform.
Since you said the words for free, I was going to ask you about this in a different way, but is there a cost to this to the educator?
Not to start creating content. So there's a couple of different business models for the Engage platform. So if you want to use it commercially, if you want to, say, set up your own university without a brick-and-mortar building, you can set that up on Engage, and there's a cost for that, and you're paying per user on the platform. But if you simply want to create content and publish that on the platform for others to enjoy, kind of like a MOOC, it's completely free for you to use it. But if you sell that content on the platform, there's a revenue share model where the educator will get 70% and we get 30%. So it is free if you want to publish your content for free. But if you do want to use it privately, there is a cost associated with that per user. And it's roughly, you're looking at about $60 per user per year on the platform.
So I just want to get this straight so everybody can understand it. I want you to explain it. So basically, if you had a class of and correct me if I'm wrong, please. If you had a classroom of, I'm just going to say 10 students to keep it simple, okay, would that cost $600 for the year? Or 600 pounds, whatever you were working in. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. And those students can be anywhere in the world. So you can have one guy in China, one guy in America, one guy in London, and they're all sitting in the virtual classroom as if they're sitting in a real classroom, interacting in a very natural way. And the reason we've done it in such a way, and our avatars are full-body avatars that look exactly like you because it's based on a photograph of you.
I love it.
Is we're really going after the stay-at-home learner, the MOOC online education platforms, because very few people finish online courses because they're not engaged with the content. You're looking at a screen, you're looking at video, and you're answering message boards, whereas within our virtual classrooms, it feels like you're in a real classroom interacting with real people because in reality you are acting with real people, you are interacting in a very natural way. And we even have 3D audio. So let's say the educator is off out in front of you and he's giving a presentation or she's giving a presentation. If you want to turn around and talk to the person next to you in a very quite natural way, you can do that because it's 3D audio. Whereas on a standard traditional online education platform, it's all video based. if you've ever tried to have a Skype call with more than five or six people, it can get very busy and very awkward very, very quickly. Whereas within our platform, you can have 40 people in the classroom with you at the same time as if you were having a real class with 40 people in a real room.
It's so interesting, and I do agree with you. This is a watershed moment in education because we've got this technology, and certainly kids love it, if I may. Students love it. All right, adults love it too, but students love it. Okay, and they get so involved in this thing. And I must ask you a silly question because I watched this movie last week. David, have you seen that new Steven Spielberg film called Ready Player One?
I have indeed. It's quite a good movie. And there's no such thing as silly questions. There's just silly answers. But it is a very, very good movie. But it's actually based on a very, very good book. So I did go and watch the movie, and it's a great Hollywood movie, and it looks quite cool. But if you've ever read the book, the first three chapters of the book are all based around education and the future of schooling. And I think that I travel over to America quite a bit, and anytime I go over, especially when I used to be pitching for money from investors, I used to say to them, if you've ever read the book Ready Player One, we've built the education system from Ready Player One, and it's ready to go. And that's why it's called the Engage platform as well. So I definitely recommend to any of your listeners, get that book, Ready Player One.
Get the book, and if you're not going to read the book, see the movie. The movie was really wonderful. It's less about education, but it does kind of touch on the theme of we've got to do better with this and make it happen. And let me ask you this, David. I just go FETC and some of the big ed tech shows are coming up now here in the States. And I know BET is coming up in Britain, certainly. Are you going to be exhibiting at any of those shows, including BET, which is the British ed tech universe?
Yeah, so we're going to be at the BET conference at the end of this month, and we'll have quite a large presence there as well, and we'll have about 10 headsets with us, so we invite people to come along to the show. We're also doing another show in Dubai, and we will be over stateside quite soon as well, so we're probably going to hold our own event in New York, and we're going to invite people that we want to see to our own private event, but we are looking at South by Southwest as well, and we'll probably do one on the West Coast is also. So we haven't announced those dates yet, but we will definitely be over there a couple of times this year.
Okay, that's good. And by the way, I just want to make sure everybody knows the website, I just want to give this again, is immersive with an I, immersive, VREducation.com. VREducation.com. And you can learn more about this in the Engage platform. We're not done, Dave. I just wanted to make sure I got that in so people can see it. And you guys tweet at VR Education, just so everybody understands that. All right, immersivevreducation.com. Of course, this is so important. Are you working with schools? I'm just going to use either Ireland. I'll say the UK. Are you working?
Yeah.
And I'll include Ireland, no offense. Okay. Are you working over there? I'll say it another way, the British Isles. Okay. Are you working over there right now in schools?
Yeah, so I think, as I said earlier, we are working with Oxford University. So we've kind of focused on third-level education, and then we go down. But Oxford University are one of the top-rated universities in the world, and it's fantastic to be working with those guys. So we went to Oxford University, and we recorded 10 lectures on all different subjects. So we have one on medieval manuscripts, and we have one on cancer research. We've one on why cats are evil. Another one on statistics, so it's a wide variety of subjects, and we're publishing them on the platform, and there's actually a couple of them available today. We did some work with New Haven University last year as well on cybercrime.
You mean Yale? New Haven University? Or is there a different New Haven?
No, just New Haven University. I don't know if it's Yale, but it's just New Haven University as far as I know from this end.
Yale University is in New Haven. That's why I'm asking that question.
Maybe it is. I'm not 100% myself.
I don't know New Haven. That's why I was asking. I just wanted to make it clear for you.
No problem. And then we also are working with Shenandoah University in Virginia. And with Shenandoah University, what they're doing is they teach a lot of skills for first responders and, say, the police force as well and stuff like that, where it's kind of, you know, you might have to talk down a jumper from a ledge, or you might have to reenact certain scenarios, and they're using the Engage platform to do that. So they've just signed up recently, actually, and they've started using the platform, and they're also using it for distance learning. And there's a couple of other universities around the world that we're actively talking to at the moment, but we haven't announced anything yet. I think one of the big things for us is we are a publicly listed company. We listed on the Stock Exchange in London earlier this year, so we anytime we do work with universities, we have to make sure that all the agreements are signed up and they're happy for us to publish their name before we can open it up wider to the public.
And do you see yourself, and I think you do, but I'm not sure, do you see yourselves going into what we here in the States call pre-K-12 education, prior to secondary education, okay? Do you see yourselves going into that huge market?
We definitely do. The platform has been designed for that as well. It's really for all ages, but we're kind of, the way we've looked at it is, okay, there's kind of budgets and there's a lot of homeschooled people at university level, and then we'll filter our way down. But definitely as the headsets become ubiquitous, we'll be available to educators at any level. And we actually have made the platform so it'll work on most headset devices. So we work on all the high-end devices like Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, Windows Mixed Reality, but quite soon we're going to be on the Oculus Go and the Vive Focus. The Oculus Go actually is a $200 device, and it's quite inexpensive for what you're getting in the long run. And I think if there's any parents listening out there, there's a lot of schools paid $600-$700 for iPads, and a lot of those iPads are only being used as text repositories or video repositories.
Exactly.
Whereas for a $200 VR device, you can send your kid to the moon, or you can send your kid back in history to see the Battle of Hastings, maybe. So it's like for a very, very small outlay, they get so much content.
Right. It really is. And, you know, you just said something that struck me, said a number of things, but this struck me. You said, as headsets become ubiquitous. And are you, as you talk to your friends at colleges and universities, as you talk to the K-12 market, are, in fact, the headsets becoming ubiquitous, or is that still an uphill fight?
They are only just starting now. So we're only getting past first-generation hardware. So I think if you remember back to when the mobile phone came out, very few people had mobile phones.
Right.
And then Apple released the iPhone, and it went fantastically well. And I think the first iPhone, when it was released, they only sold 4 million devices. And then when the second generation iPhone came out, they sold 12 million devices. Now, the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, and the PlayStation, they've sold between 7 and 8 million devices between them. And that's first generation hardware. Come this March, Oculus, who are the Facebook-owned company, they're releasing the Oculus Quest for $400, where you don't need a phone, you don't need any computer. It's a $400 standalone headset. I think this is where we're going to really see the ramp up of VR adoption, because these are standalone devices. So as I said, the first generation has been 7 million. I think the second generation headsets, they're going to sell somewhere in the region of 20, 25 million. Third generation after that, then about 75 million devices. So really, we're going to see a huge ramp up between now and the next 2-3 years. So I predict by 2022, we will definitely have a VR device that will be fairly commonplace in most homes and most schools.
It will be. And, you know, I'm thinking here, just as you're talking, because I live in New England, I live in Maine, and closest to you, I might add, over there in the U.S. And what I'm curious about, do we see, I don't know if you're familiar with the private school market over here, but the private school market is a market like where I used to live in Exeter, New Hampshire, Phillips Exeter. These are wealthy schools. All right, and they love to be cutting edge in everything. Have you approached that market as well as the public school market, or do you know about that market? Maybe is a good way to put it.
Not in the U.S. We are approaching that market in the U.K. They have a lot of private schools in the U.K. We're actually very lucky living in Ireland. Our education system is completely free, and if we want to go to university or college,
it's an excellent system.
Free as well. So, like,
it's an excellent
we're
system.
Very, very spoiled here. We have quite a few Americans who work for us, and they've been telling us, like, they owe huge student debt when they leave university in the U.S. And really, the core why we're building this platform is we really want to open up education to a broader market, because in a lot of countries, especially in the U.S. and the United Kingdom, really lower-income families are being priced out of the market. It's really middle-income families are families with a lot of income can afford to send their kids to the best schools in the world are two college or university, not even the best universities, because they're all quite expensive. So really we're trying to open up that market where if you're an educator in Oxford University, you can put your content on our platform, you can sell that content if you want, and you can get a huge amount of people consuming that content, because within the platform can record everything that you do, and say it'll also record your movement and any objects you bring in. So it's a virtual version of you replayed to the student, so you don't even have to be there live. So we think that will really open up the market to people that couldn't afford to go to a brick and mortar institute in the past. So really that's kind of the core goal of the company, but there's all these little steps along the way that we have to achieve. So we released the platform, version one of the platform, only just before Christmas. Now we're wrapping up our publicity. Yeah, we released it in December, so I think it was the second week in December, and we're kicking off the publicity for the platform with the Bet Conference coming up at the end of January. So we, as I said, we're in the Bet Conference, and then we're in Dubai, and then we'll be over to America. So really now it's just we're starting to ramp up, but we've been developing this platform over the past 4 years.
That is great, and I know I wish you a lot of luck at Bet, because I've never been there, and I'm not going to go this year either for some stupid reason. I've never been there, I might add. Okay, I can't think of what it is because I love going over there. But, you know, I want to wish you the best of luck over that, because there's going to be a lot of American companies there as well, because I know a lot of them are going, and it's a tremendous opportunity for you. And I want to ask you something. You're referring to all the universities that you're working with, and I'm curious, and this is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. When you're in these universities, what are you talking to the schools of education over there? And the reason over here, excuse me, and perhaps over there as well. And the reason I'm asking that is because they're going to be training future teachers. They are training future teachers, but if we keep training teachers in the old ways of teaching, nothing moves forward. And it's very important to me that the colleges that are training teachers use all the latest gizmos, if I may, you know, like a VR, to explain that they use it to teach, so that those students will go out into the real world and teach. All right. And have you talked to any of the colleges of education about you teaching using VR in their classes to teach education, teach future teachers, so that they'll become used to it and use it in their schools when they go in there? That's a key thing, and sometimes we miss that. I'm just curious where you guys are on that, if anywhere.
Yeah, with the college of educators, we haven't in the UK yet, and the reason being is there's definitely an age profile with this type of technology. So when we go to universities and colleges, you'll always get your digital champions that always want to forge ahead and be the first and really want to showcase what the technology can do and the benefits of the technology. But sometimes the people who are in power, they might be of a different generation that really we've done it this way for so many years and it's worked for us in the past and we don't really want to change, because people in general, they're afraid of change. But what we're seeing is that I remember back in the 1980s when the personal computer came out first, and I remember in the mid-80s that a lot of the schools in Ireland got they got computers in classrooms, but educators didn't know what to do with them. They were afraid to use them.
Right.
They were sitting there collecting dust for many, many years until probably the early 90s. But what's happened is that all the kids who were in school in the mid-80s are now educators today and lecturers in universities and colleges all over the world, and they're used to the adoption of technology, and they're seeing VR as the next wave in here's how we're going to interact with the digital world. There's going to be jobs in virtual reality and augmented reality as well, and they really see this as the next evolution in the jobs market and in how we interact with the digital world, because of their past experiences with the personal computer. Because I remember back in the mid-90s, people were looking at personal computers. Oh, it's quite nice. It's a nice-looking device, and it has some nice fancy graphics.
Yeah.
And I know I can type a letter on it, but no one's going to make
any
money out of it.
Yeah, but who needs it beyond that? It'll never go anywhere without that. You're absolutely right. I'm one of those people. I looked at this and said, okay, it's great. I have one. What do I do with it now? All right? And it's my whole world now. Okay? And it's going to be the same. It's going to be the exact same thing. And this is where virtual reality education, I mean, I taught history. And to be able to do, and you mentioned the Battle of Hastings before, and you wrote me a little thing that you could do Apollo 11. You can do anything you want, okay? and make this literal, how do I want to say, make this virtually, but literally real for these kids. Okay, so that the Battle of Hastings, if I may use your example, you know, becomes something that actually happened as opposed to a line in a textbook. Okay, and it's so darn important. And I guess being a history teacher, I see it differently than perhaps, but you can do science, you can do math, you can do whatever you want with it. It's just incredible. Okay, one last question I've got to ask you. What do you see the future classroom looking like? You, Dave, you're an expert here. Futurist Davis Whalen. Go ahead. What does the future look like?
I think it's definitely going to be blended learning. So it's going to be, you're going to do a lot of your classwork, I feel, at home. So like the homeschool market is absolutely booming at the moment. And to be honest, there's so many kids being born today, but yet there's not enough teachers to teach everybody. And classroom sizes are getting way too big. So like a classroom size of 35, 40 kids to an educator doesn't work because you can't give everybody the care and attention that they need. So I think what's going to happen is there's going to be some really fantastic educators creating really compelling content that they can put their students in, and then it's going to be a blended learning where when they come out of that content, they're going to do their exams, and they'll question everything, to be honest. They'll even question their own reality when they come out of VR. And the educators in the real world are going to be there to answer questions and really to guide the students on their education. This in no way is a replacement to educators. This really is another tool for educators to really help them manage their time better, to help them manage class sizes, and really to inspire the kids of the future.
Well, that's it. That was exactly my point with going to the schools of education. Okay, we don't want to replace teachers, but they have to change to the modern world, okay, into the world of high tech. They really do. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, there has to be change in there. That's why I want this stuff used in schools of education. Your thoughts on that, Dave?
Yeah, definitely. Like, again, if I go back to the 1980s, everybody knew the personal computer was going to be big, but they didn't know how. Whereas now, computers are taught in every school in Europe anyway, because 70% of the jobs you need to have computer skills, or even 80% of the jobs. VR and AR technology is going to be the very same way. It's just another way to interact with the digital world, but we can really inspire these kids. And I'll actually give you a good example. So we created the Apollo 11 experience. It was one of our very first experiences, and we released it 3 years ago and went on to be a global bestseller. And there was a review that went up from a young guy. I think he was about 17 or 18, and he came out with the experience, and he actually got quite emotional. He was crying. He said, "This, I feel like I've walked on the moon with Neil Armstrong. It was a dream of mine in the past." And we've even met Charlie Duke, the youngest man ever to walk on the moon. He was on Capcom for Apollo 11. And we put him inside the Apollo 11 experience, and you could see him reliving his mission. We recorded it and put it on YouTube, and you could see him looking at the dials and the switches. He was reliving that moment back 47 years ago. And when he came out of the experience, he gave us feedback on what exactly these dials should read. So when you're inside the Apollo 11 experience, it's exactly how Neil Armstrong and Buzz and Michael Collins experienced the mission. And you can look it up on YouTube. If you just type in Al Warden and Apollo 11 VR, you'll see a video up on it. And it's quite an emotive piece, because when he turns around and Neil Armstrong gives him the thumbs up, you see Charlie giving him the thumbs up back. It's quite an amazing moment.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. By the way, you also have you have the Titanic too. Am I correct? Titanic?
Yeah, we have Titanic, where you can witness the sinking from the point of view of a survivor in Lifeboat 6, which is the lifeboat that Molly Brown was on, and you also get to dive on a shipwreck, a very, very accurate version of the shipwreck in your own mere submarine. And it took quite a long time, but we use these experiences. These are called showcase experiences, because we're really trying to educate the market to show that, look, VR is not just for games and entertainment. It can also be used for education, and we release these showcase, high-quality showcase experiences to really open up people's minds. And then when they find out about the company, they can see, oh, I can actually make my own virtual reality content using the tool sets that these guys have. And you can reuse all the assets. Because we've made Titanic and Apollo, we actually have the moon surface and the Apollo landing site in the Engage platform, where you can have your class right next to the Apollo spacecraft, or you can have a class on the shipwreck of the Titanic.
Well, and by the way, when you do the Titanic one, everybody wear women's clothes. Just a thought.
Yeah,
get off
exactly.
The
and
yeah, what can I tell you? Don't go down with the ship. We want you back, okay? David, this was great. I wish you the best of luck. Keep me posted, please. I know Aoife, who's my friend who helped set up the show, will keep me informed on all this. And when you come to the U.S., we can do another show and we can talk about all the wonderful stuff you're doing, okay? This is just great. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Okay, that's Dave Whale. And I just checked this out. It's really amazing. Immersive with an I, immersivevreducation.com. Check it out. They're good. They're good folks. This is exciting stuff. And it is a real watershed change in education. The show will archive over at education-talkradio.org and we'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.